Hello and welcome to Batflips and Nerds, the podcast that gives you a British take on baseball. I'm Darius Austin, and this week we're going to be doing a special championship series roundtable. We're going to split up the NL and the AL. We've got fans from every team on to talk about how they're feeling about the postseason so far and what they think the chances are the rest of the way. We'll just kind of take the temperature and see how we think the rest of this is going to play out from the UK perspective. So we're going to start off with the National League. And joining me, we've got obviously got a Dodgers fan and a Brewers fan. Previous guest of the pod, Leon Boyne, is back to represent the Dodgers. Leon, how are you?
Yeah, very good, thanks. Very good. Feeling a lot better since the divisional series finished with a win for the Dodgers. So yeah, great, thanks.
Yeah, I can imagine. It's a bit smoother than the end of the regular season for you, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. I mean, it's been a funny old year for the Dodgers. Started horrifically. Had our ups and downs throughout the year. And then, yeah, game one, 6-3, sort of led us nicely into that divisional series and a good win.
Yeah, we'll definitely get onto that and talk a bit about that series shortly. And joining us as well on the pod is our Brewers representative, and it's Charlie Batho. Charlie, how are you?
Yeah, feeling quite optimistic and quite relieved to not be in the wild card situation that we thought we'd be in from most of the year. With the Cubs leading out, I always felt if we got the opportunity to play for the Cubs, I felt really good about the team. And it's nice to kind of get the opportunity to represent ourselves over 5 or 7 games rather than just these one-off games.
Yeah, definitely. Those coin flips are a bit of a nail biter, really. And I'm sure you were hanging on every moment in that game 1-6-3, which got you the division.
Oh, definitely. His sleepless nights due to the late starts and the nerves, really.
Yeah, so I think we'll start there with the Brewers over the Rockies. Coming into the series, I think a lot of people did pick the Brewers to go through. Were you feeling pretty confident? Did you expect it to be a sweep as it was?
I mean, it's hard to be impartial. I certainly had a long sort of mental process working out whether it was a good or bad decision to go for a sort of bullpen series, and I think that was really make or break. And not because we have a bad bullpen, really. It's hard to say. If it goes wrong, we have to leave Josh Hader out for too long to start the series. Obviously, the way the game sort of panned out was we had the 2-run lead and ended up blowing the save and it reached on. But ultimately, we into it.
So turning it over to you, Leon, and the Dodgers had a nervous end to the regular season, but then also came through with the sweep against the Braves. Were you feeling pretty confident? Every projection had the Dodgers really cruising the series, and that was ultimately how it turned out.
Well, I mean, going into this year has been a real sort of weird one for the Dodgers, where we'd lose games that we should have won and beat teams that we probably should have lost to. For example, we lost 7 games on the trot to the Reds and the Marlins, which is just a horrendous run early in the season. So sort of going into a game against the Braves, or a series against the Braves, who obviously won 90 games this season, was I was confident, quietly confident. But again, anything could happen, we've shown so far this season. I mean, for example, we had Ross Stripling, who was an all-star, and he didn't make the roster for the NLDS. Yeah, with the Dodgers, you never know what's going to happen this year. The first game, I think, really calmed me down quite a lot with Hyun-Jin Ryu. He just pitched an absolute gem. And then with Kershaw and Buehler coming up behind that, you thought, okay, yeah, we've got this series in the bag now. Kershaw was just unreal on the Friday night. Old school Kershaw, not as many sort of strikeouts as you'd expect from him. But yeah, shut them down. And the Braves kind of looked dead in the water at that stage. They hadn't really threatened at all across the first 2 games. And I was thinking, yeah, next game we go to Atlanta and we're going to absolutely massacre them. Buehler's been unreal second half of the season. And then within the second inning of the third game, we were 5-0 down. And you were thinking, here we go again. Clawed it back and then threw it away again and took us into game 4 and One nervy inning, but beyond that, looked comfortable. Machado with the big hit, which we've been waiting for since he came across from the Orioles. It's given me a bit more confidence coming into the Championship Series because they look so comfortable throughout. Whether that was the Braves just not being up for it, not being used to playoff baseball with them having a young squad, or the Dodgers really just stepping up and destroying them, I'm feeling quite good now.
Yeah, I can imagine you feel a lot better than you did even a week or so ago. How much of the games have you actually been able to watch? Obviously, some of them have been friendly-ish hours playoff-wise, but a lot of them have been on very late UK time. So have you been watching live, or have you been doing more of the catch-up in the next morning?
I've watched most of them live. We're quite lucky with when you're facing a team that's in the East, as you get games that start at 1 a.m. rather than 3 a.m., so it's a bit more accessible in the playoffs, luckily. With the late night games, I mean, I tend to wake up at 3 o'clock anyway. I've always done it, which just happens to be the time that the Dodgers usually start. So I've been able to catch most of the games and sort of rolled into work the next morning. Quite clearly, haven't been watching baseball all night. You do occasionally drop off and miss an inning or two, but I've been lucky enough to catch most of the games so far.
Yeah, and Charlie, how about you? Have you been able to watch the Brewers live, or has it been an early morning catch-up job for you?
I'm lucky with it. I've had quite a few early starts for work and just kind of braved it, really. A lot of the starts ended up being sort of 9:30, 10 o'clock. So, the most difficult one was the first game against the Rockies with the blown save where we went to it, kept me up till maybe 3.
So I mentioned before we came on that I wanted to talk a little bit about sort of moments of nerves and then confidence. So we've kind of already talked a little bit about how you guys felt coming into the series, but Leon, what was the point at which you felt the most nervous about the Braves? Was there a point where you thought, oh God, the Dodgers are going to blow this, or did you never really get there?
I guess it was the second inning of game three. Buehler had started unbelievably, and he got through the first inning with Acuna, Albies, and Freeman, who are bloody good hitters. And he got out on 5 pitches, and I was like, okay, yep, no hit, perfect game coming up, something like that. And then the next inning was a disaster. He walked the pitcher, Sean Newcomb, who's sort of widely regarded as one of the worst hitting pitchers in the in the National League, and then he gave up immediately after the Grand Slam, and it kind of felt like, oh, here we go, game's over at this point. That was really the only stage in the entire series where I was like, this is going to be a bit tougher than it had looked so far. But you know, they managed to turn it around, got it back to 5-all, and then gave up the solo shot to Freeman. But even then, going into the next day, I was still sort of confident. With Rich Hill on the mound, who on his day is difficult to hit, it was a relatively easy victory the next day once we got back into it.
Yeah, and Charlie, presumably for you, I guess the obvious moment was when Jeremy Jeffress blew that save in the first game.
Yeah, that's definitely up there. Obviously, that was the first game we went bullpen game, and theoretically, progressively better as the game goes through. Hader, and it was obviously, it could have like very feasibly gone either way. I thought of thinking about whether you move Hader to do the ninth inning or sort of Corey Knebel back as the closer, because Jeffress only recently sort of replaced him in that role. And that was a very obvious moment of it. There was a few early on in Chacín's start where him being our best starter, where he'd loaded the bases in, I think, first, maybe second inning, which also kind of was quite nerving. But obviously the Jeffress moment was the one, because he didn't know how he'd bounce back the next day and throughout the series after that.
Yeah, and I guess the Rockies, I think, were pretty lifeless at the plate for most of the series. So did you realise kind of as it was going along that this team was pretty unlikely to kind of come back and overturn you, or did you not really feel confident until they secured the last out of game three?
I mean, it's my first sort of playoff experience as a Briller, and it's probably historically the best team together. And I didn't really know what to expect, but he's very defeated. There was one or two moments. It's hard to tell. I felt very, very confident. To be honest, even though their season hasn't really gone how they wanted to, the only team that have sort of put any fear into me is the Dodgers, because obviously they've got that factor of have been there before and played to the World Series last year and was that favoured them a lot more than the Braves and the Rockies and the Brewers, just because they know how to handle themselves in that moment.
Yeah, and Leon, I guess probably Kershaw's start had to feel pretty good. Was that like the best moment where you thought, yeah, this team is going to go all the way this time? Or are you still kind of hedging your bets there?
Yeah, no, it was a nice moment, because obviously, you know, he's been quite liberal with the use of the bullpen as Dave Roberts over the last couple of years. So to see Kershaw go eight, so it was like the, as I said, I think I mentioned earlier, it's like the old Kershaw was back, he's back, or it's maybe even Kershaw 2.0, which is quite a scary prospect, because he didn't have many strikeouts, but he was getting, you know, he was getting the easy outs, and he did eight innings and 85 pitches, which is quite a scary prospect for a lot of teams, really. Because obviously the old Kershaw would overpower you. You're looking at 15, 16 strikeouts sometimes over eight innings, where, you know, I think it was about three that he got in this game. And that's got to hurt a team a lot, where you've got a guy who, whilst the strikeout numbers aren't that high, he's completely dominating you. And then you know that this is, you know, strong relievers that are waiting to come in, and a strong bullpen as well. So yeah, that start was big for us. Again, they'd pushed him back a day as well, because Kershaw's usually the guy that starts game one, and they pushed him to game two, which probably maybe spurred him on to a greater performance than usual. It was very pleasing to see.
Yeah, it was good. I mean, I'm a Giants fan, so obviously have some bias, but I hate this Kershaw playoff narrative, and it's really nice to see him tuck another outstanding postseason start under his belt and kind of shake off a bit of that. It's been very frustrating for somebody as good as him to have that kind of reputation, I think.
I think part of the narrative was that previously, if the Dodgers lost a Kershaw start in the series, they'd lose the rest of the series. There was so much weight on his shoulders. Whereas now the team and the pitching staff seems a bit more sort of rounded out, where it's not Kershaw or bust, essentially, which it seemed to be for a lot of those previous series. Whereas now we can almost hopefully rely on Walker Buehler. We've got Ryu, who's on fire as well. We've got Rich Hill to come in. Alex Wood, Ross Stripling are also there. And then we've got, you know, a guy who struggled a bit with due to a heart issue, Kenley Jansen, at the end, who, again, on his days, he's a real scary prospect for a ninth inning.
Yeah, I think if Kenley's firing all cylinders, that certainly makes you feel an awful lot better. And I kind of want to talk about the series ahead now. So the Dodgers have been the favourites in the NL by the projections pretty much all season, even as they struggled. I think they've been comfortably favoured to get out and end up in the World Series. So do you feel like that now that they've had this comfortable series against the Braves and kind of they've won the NL West as everybody expected, albeit on the very final day? Do you feel like confident that they'll overcome the Brewers, or are you not there yet?
It's a quiet confidence, I think, at this stage. I mean, I've not watched much of the Brewers this year. I've seen them in the games against the Dodgers, and the Dodgers actually did beat up on them a couple of times this year. I think it was 4-3 across the season series, but there was a time, I think the last game we played at Dodgers Stadium, it was 21-5, and sort of absolute annihilation against Chacin as well, who the Dodgers will obviously know from his days as a Padre as well. It's a quiet confidence. It's different to last season in that we won 104 games, and we sort of went in there expecting to steamroll everyone, and for the most part did. Whereas this season, we've taken the division on the very last day, so everything beyond that is really a bonus at this stage. So, you know, to get to the World Series, he's going to be a bonus rather than sort of an absolute right for this team. They've had to work really hard to sort of earn the position where they are this season. You know, there's been a lot of adversity. There's a hell of a lot of injuries. I think pretty much every starter was on the DL at some stage. So they've really battled, and I think it's just that as well this year. They've got the experience of having gone through last season where, you know, for the most part, they were very well matched with the Astros until that very last game. So they know what to expect, I think. This is going to be a tough game, a tough series. But, you know, I'm quietly confident that they've got enough to get through.
And Charlie, you mentioned earlier that the Brewers are kind of the inexperienced team here, and I think they're probably also the neutral fans pick at this point. The other three teams are teams that we kind of expected to be here, and the Brewers really aren't. So are you feeling like there's an underdog upset in this team, which has kind of proved a lot of people wrong already?
My head says it's probably not on the... I think it's going to be a race to get the innings from our starters that we probably need to be able to handle the workload. I think really thrive in winning situations. And I just can't see that being the case. You know, great lefty start aren't good for our lefty heavy lineup, and I don't think I see it as much as I really want to.
Yeah, I think that's probably how the majority feel right now, although I'm sure there's plenty of neutrals wishing on that. And as a Giants fan, obviously want to see the Brewers win. So just to kind of wrap it up, and maybe for people who don't know your teams to learn a little bit more about them, I kind of wanted people to pick maybe an outside-the-box, an unusual guy who you think might come up big in the playoffs, like Brock Holt did for the Red Sox the other night. So, I mean, this Dodgers lineup is obviously stacked with talent from top to bottom. But once again, they've got some surprising contributions out of a few guys who we probably didn't even expect to see on the roster. So have you got a pick for a surprise hero?
I think it's got to be Max Muncy, really, who, hands up, I'd never heard of the guy up until sort of middle of April this year. So he wasn't even on the opening day roster. And he turned up, I think it was his first game. I think it was against the Padres where he got a hit. And I was like, who the hell is Max Muncy? And when's he going to be traded? And he's stuck around and he's been sort of exceptional all throughout the season. He's still a platoon player, really. So he's not an everyday starter. And he's hit 35 home runs plus two in the playoffs as well. So I think he's perhaps not so much of a surprise. He's been in the home run derby. He's still a guy who I think is going to be big. And this is his real big stage now, I guess, in the playoffs with four teams left. And he can come through. His home run power is insane on his day. He hit one against the Braves of the night, which was just fantastic. But I mean, on sort of a side note, there's probably a lot of people that don't realise David Freese is now with the Dodgers as well, who's obviously, you know, absolutely clutch. He had a huge hit the other day against the Braves as well. And perhaps a sleeper one, maybe Brian Dozier, who has struggled for the most part, but his at-bats, when he has sort of been at the plate, have been real strong in terms of he's up in the pitch count there, 8 and 10, 9, 10 pitch at-bats. And I think he's got a big hit in him somewhere along the way. So I think he could be sort of a sleeper star for this particular series.
Yeah, that would be a big surprise, I think, to people, given how Dozier has played certainly from the statistical basis since he's arrived in LA. I think him turning it around to be a playoff hero would be exactly the kind of thing that does happen in the playoffs, I guess.
Yeah, it'd be great to see. As I say, I mean, he's really battled. He had a hard time. He started off sort of hot for the first week or so and then went cold as ice. He was this year's Curtis Granderson. But yeah, I've got a feeling that he might have a big hit coming up soon.
Yeah, so watch out for those guys. So I think we'll wrap it up there and to move on and interview our AL guys. So, Charlie, where can people find you on social media if they want to get your take on the Brewers from a UK perspective?
Yeah, so it's at Charlie Batho on Instagram and Twitter. My Instagram is far more active than my Twitter. And also, if you're interested in sort of keeping up with me in a British baseball way, my team, the Sheffield Bruins, are going into their second season. They won the league this year and advanced to a higher league this year. So that's at Chef Bruins on most platforms. But again, Instagram being more active than Twitter. So, yeah, we welcome newcomers and and any more followers would be fantastic.
Yeah, definitely do get involved if you're near a British baseball club. I believe Ben just commented in the Slack chat that he thinks you may well have struck him out at some point over the course of his baseball career. So, definitely check that out. And Leon,
yeah, I'm at Dodgers_UK, which is sort of, as it says on the tin, is for Dodgers fans based in the UK. We've got a lot of American followers as well. And basically anyone that wants to chat baseball, you can tell me how much the Dodgers choke during the postseason if you'd like. But yeah, friendly chat. And if anyone's interested in playing as well, I play for the Birmingham Outlaws, or manage the Birmingham Outlaws. And that's Bandits_UK on Twitter as well.
There we go. We've got a large swathe of the UK covered there with Sheffield and Birmingham. So definitely get involved, people. Okay, well, thanks for joining me, guys. And next up, we will bring on our AL representatives to talk about the Red Sox and the Astros. So I'm now joined by our AL representatives. And first, representing the defending champion Houston Astros, it's George Martin. George, how are you?
Very well, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing well. Looking forward to chatting about this. We've got somebody else on to represent the Red Sox. You may have heard him once or twice before. The challengers trying to take down the champs. Tom Pringle, how are you, Tom?
I'm very good. Unfortunately, literally no one else was available, so you've had to have me instead.
Yeah, I will say Tom tried really hard to get somebody else to do this, and nobody could come on. So here he is back to talk about the Red Sox again.
How are there no Red Sox fans? This is ridiculous.
We get so many tweets about this from the Red Sox fan base now. You know that, right?
You're right. That's true. I'm going to get a load of hassle. Admittedly, we tried two people, okay? We tried two.
Tom did only think to try people yesterday, so that is
this is totally my fault. I always have these great ideas and like, yeah, we can do this will be fine, let's do it Thursday or Friday, and then immediately I thought, oh great, my in-laws come down Friday, I completely forgot about that, I can't do it. And then Thursday I was working late and I was like, I can't actually plan anything properly. So unfortunately, once again, Darius, thank you for taking the mantle on this one and dealing with it.
It's what I'm here for. Right, so we'll do a quick look back at the divisional series, and we'll start with Houston. The Astros handed down a historical beating to the Indians, basically. Jeff Sullivan at Fangraphs wrote that this was basically the most dominant playoff series of all time. Did it feel like that watching it, George?
There were a couple of edgy moments, but that's really all it was. I think most Astros fans would say they were surprised at how simple it was in the end, and it really did look like a case of us dominating the Indians in pretty much every department from start to finish. I mean, we pretty much butchered Kluber in the first game, and from then on, the team looked like they had the belief that they were gonna kick on from there. I mean, it's been such a strange year in some regards, because as has been well documented, we had the big players going down with the injuries. We had Altuve, Correa, and Springer all out at one point. And we were looking towards the sort of lesser lights like Tyler White to keep the ship afloat, and they more than did that. It's, you know, they held off that challenge from the A's. And going into this series, I think some of us were a little bit, you know, feeling a little bit of trepidation going into the series, because we've seen what the Indians did last year. Obviously, they didn't manage to do it in October, but we going into that, we'd sort of looked at, maybe it was lucky that we didn't face them in 2017, because they were possibly a side that could have been a bad matchup for us. Going into this year, we wondered if that was still the case, but it just, I think, again, as people have said, the division being so weak just did not put them in, suit them in good stead for the series whatsoever. We had the race against the A's for the AL West, and we were sort of primed and ready to go. And I think it showed. We were not just sort of battle hardened, but we just looked really up for it. And I think the Indians looked a bit flat. Aside from Lindor, who was probably the one shining light for them through the series, we struggled with him, not just the homers, but he was always making good contact and looked like a class act. But aside from that, the Indians sort of fell to pieces under the pressure. And the longer the games went on, the more and more dominant we became. I mean, I was a little bit worried, to answer your initial question, when we went behind in game three. But I don't think, you know, I don't think we ever really felt like they were actually going to do the job. They didn't have any sort of air of confidence that they looked like they were ready to put us away. And I think that's for us was the perfect start to October, because you never know how your side's gonna go in the postseason after such a long regular season. It's such a different environment. The sort of relaxed, family friendly crowds of the regular season turn into the sort of rabid, frenzied atmospheres that you get, and you never know how players are going to react to that. I mean, even Josh Reddick was chipping in with hits, which was certainly not the case outside of the one against the Red Sox last October, when he completely disappeared in the ALCS and the World Series was pretty much a ghost. So to see him contributing was great. And then for Marwin Gonzalez to come up with massive, massive clutch hits, I mean, it fills us with confidence going into the ALCS. And I think we're really happy with where we are.
Yeah, so you've kind of already touched on when you felt the most nervous about this series. What was the moment when you kind of thought, yeah, this team's gonna do this and maybe even go all the way? Was it when they got to Kluber in that first game?
That was more of a relief, because I think you want to get the first win out of the way in the postseason. Like I said, the last thing you want to do is have such a great year, however you do it, have such a great year, and then just flop in the postseason. No one can get anything going. Then it sort of becomes contagious, and nothing happens, and you go out with a bit of a whimper. Obviously, to get to Kluber early was a big boost. We knew that we wanted to get past the starters to get to the bullpen and test it out, and that was where we did the big damage. And I think where did I think that it was done? I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, I guess when you in the best of five in the divisional series, I think when you go 2-0 up, you think you don't think that's done, but you think that you should not ever be losing a series from that position. So as soon as Gerrit Cole had put that masterful display, 12 strikeouts, and they were all swinging strikeouts as well, if I'm not mistaken, in game two, I really felt that we were well set. I didn't really fear going to Cleveland to face him in that third game. If I'd been a betting man, I would have thought they'd take that third game and push it to game four. But it didn't happen, and Bauer imploded fairly spectacularly and surprisingly, and we punished them ruthlessly for the errors.
Yeah, and I think Tom, you probably had quite a different experience of the divisional series, and I know there were definitely points when you thought that the Yankees were definitely going to win this one. So I mean, was it after game two that you really felt the worst? I think you were posting pictures of the playoff odds, and it looked like the Yankees were favoured to win games 3 and 4, and you seemed very depressed about the whole situation.
I don't know about being depressed. I think the Yankees fans chanting "We want Boston," I was thinking, I don't want the Yankees. And I think most Boston fans would have thought that I don't want the Yankees, because they were just on such a tear, and you just thought this is probably not the right time to be playing the Yankees. But I think the playoff odds, I just wanted to put those up there, because the fact that it's Dan Zimborski's Zips predictions that were on the Fangraphs, and it was saying which starter had a more percentage chance of winning the game. And they were updated throughout the game as well, so they'd constantly be updating. Obviously, game one, Chris Sale and the man, that all went quite well. Apart from Craig Kimbrell beginning to start giving us shakes in the ninth inning and letting the Yankees come back into it. Game two with David Price, well, we all know what David Price is like against the Yankees, and we all know what David Price is like in the postseason. So it wasn't a surprise to lose there. I think for me, clearly, and it's going to seem pretty obvious now, game three was a big turning point of destroying Severino and winning 16-1. I think it really, I mean, Cora made so many changes to the lineup on that day. He went from thinking defensive first and playing small ball to really going, right, we need to get some power. We need to start hitting. So he threw in the mighty Brock Holt into that lineup, which then just changed it completely, really. And then they ended up going on to win the game 16-1. But the final game, I think in terms of, I don't know if you actually asked me about the most nervous point, but I think it's safe to say, I can't say I watched it live, but having rewatched that ninth inning, and I think you said the same, Darius, from game four, that ninth inning was just horrendous. If I was watching that live, I would have been in bits.
Yeah, I felt sick rewatching it, and I didn't have any recent interest in the game.
The way that Kimbrell imploded on that is like, oh my God. And I've been looking up his stats and stuff this afternoon. It's like, that's not a good line to go into the postseason with. And considering how good he's been all season, but then towards the end of the season, he has been on a bit of a dip. So I think it's safe to say, and everyone knows, the Red Sox bullpen is going to be the biggest worry. And that's the thing that gives me the nerves. I think we're going to have to go strong against the Astros quite early and try and work them into their bullpen, which is, you know, notoriously terrible. So we could just, the likes of, you know, Lance McCullers. I mean, in the bullpen, he's just terrible. My word. Clearly, the Astros bullpen is like, well, I mean, what do you do? Do you think, do we drag it out with the starters? Do we try and get to the bullpen? It'll be interesting to see what Corey does with this one.
Yeah. And in terms of what gave you the most confidence, was it something like Sale coming out and actually looking like he's fairly healthy and ready to go?
Yeah, I'm assuming Cora did that just to give him a few more innings. Well, an inning. I know he's been doing sort of bullpen games leading up to the postseason and trying to work up his arm. I don't really know what's going on with him, to be honest. I think there's been a dip in velocity, and I think Ben Lindbergh mentioned it recently, and I think he's done a post for the Ringer as well. The fact that it's every single year with Sale. When he gets to that sort of August, September time, the drop-off is quite drastic. I mean, compared to other pitchers, it's still a good set of velocity, ERA and FIP, etc. But it's still a quite a significant drop-off for him. So, yeah, it filled me with confidence. But, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how the rotation goes against these Astros.
Yeah, and I guess we'll move on to talk about this championship series. George, I think the Astros fans seem to me to be like the most confident group of fans on Twitter. Like, I'm always seeing Astros fans being like really like up for it and just so confident they're going to win. Is that how you feel as a member of the community? Or
I think, it's two things. One, you've got to remember that for us as a fan base to be in this position where we're the sort of boss hogs is really the first time we've ever had that. So I think there's a lot of people enjoying that, I wouldn't call it novelty, but enjoying the unique position of having that hold where other teams actually fear playing the Astros. And I think it's a little bit pantomimey as well. I mean, you do get stuff on Twitter, which is kind of like it's all fun at the end of fun and games at the end of the day when it's just on social media. But I think generally speaking, as a fan base, yeah, we're confident. We have. I don't mean this to disrespect any of the great Astros players of the past, but this is the best Astros team of all time. It's beyond question. There's no doubt in my mind. We won it all last year, and we're better this year. Those are the cold hard facts regarding this lineup. It's strange that we haven't, which all during the regular season, that we weren't as consistent offensively as last year, but. I mean, as Tom touched upon, our pitching is actually insane. I mean, the real major reason for being so confident, and I'm very, very careful not to jinx things, but for being so confident is if you've got Verlander and Cole pitching four games out of seven, that's a nightmare for anyone to face. I mean, and then again, like Tom said, if you get past one of them and the game's still in the balance, then we've got Ryan Pressly has been phenomenal since we acquired him. We've got obviously as a closer, regardless of any thoughts off the field, Osuna's been doing a great job on the field. We've just got so many different options, different weapons. I mean, I know you're going to probably ask the question in a little later, but I think in terms of a potential player who could have an impact, I think Josh James, he's young and raw, but he's absolute fire. I mean, he's pitching 101 miles an hour, and I could easily see him pitching in a big spot in this ALCS and making a real name for himself if he gets the opportunity. We'll see. But the reason for the confidence is just purely because our pitching is so varied and there's so many different ways to attack. And on top of that, we've got a lineup, as I mentioned a little earlier, with players like Marwin Gonzalez, who so versatile, able to contribute in so many different ways, and different players are willing to stand up in different games. It's not like, oh, if Altuve doesn't hit, we're finished. You know, someone else will stand up, and not just that, they'll work things out late in the game. They'll get to teams in any inning, and if the game's close, we're always in with a shout. And I think that's why we feel like we do. I'm not going to say we definitely will win this series because it's October. Anything can happen, and frequently crazy things do happen in October. But I feel very happy, and I have absolute faith in the team that we have. That's how I feel about it.
Yeah, I think that's justified. I felt that the Astros were definitely the most well-balanced team in this playoffs, and I think they're built very differently to Boston, Tom, where you maybe have, you know, some of the three or four of the 10 best players maybe in the league right now. But also, I think it's much easier to find the holes on this team, isn't it?
Yeah, I can't believe with a 108-win team that I'm nervous going to the postseason. It's just ridiculous. I can't believe that it's the case. Yeah, it's. I mean, it's clearly a power-hitting lineup. They've got a lot of power there. They're creating a lot of runs as well. JD Martinez has been phenomenal. Mookie Betts has been superb. Chris Sale has been superb at the start of the rotation. Beyond that, it's looked okay throughout the season. It's not been brilliant. The bullpen has always been a shaky area. But hopefully the starters can go a fair amount of distance. You're not trying to bridge that gap too much to get to Kimbrel, if you want to get to Kimbrel at the minute. So it's, I don't know. It's a 108-win team. I can't believe I'm nervous going into it. And each game, each morning I wake up and just look at my phone. I'm like, oh, it's going to be a mess, isn't it? And it's actually been okay so far. I'm not feeling super confident about playing the Astros, if I'm honest. I've just been desperately trying to find a shining light. I've been looking at players' postseason pitching, looked at Joe Kelly, and I was like, oh, he's done okay. He's pitched 2.1 innings and not given away anything. And I thought, let's have a look at Joe Kelly against the Astros. 2.1 innings and giving away 7 runs. Excellent. So, no, I'm not going to pick Joe Kelly as one of my players. Tyler Thornburg's done okay, but he's gone. Drew Pomerantz has done badly. Eduardo Rodriguez has done badly. Chris Sale's done okay. Rick Porcello's done badly. David Price has done okay. So there's no one really there that's jumping out at me. And I'm thinking, yes, we can dominate these. We can hold them. Bearing in mind how good Gerrit Cole's been against the Red Sox and everyone else. Justin Verlander against the Red Sox and everyone else. The only shining light, really, looking against the record, is Dallas Keuchel, who's got a 7.5 ERA against the Red Sox. That's about it. Other than that, yeah, let's see.
So you sound like you think the Astros are probably going to win the series, Tom.
I just hope it's not a sweep.
I won't go that far, but yeah.
No, I don't think it's going to be that bad, if I'm honest. I think the offense is going to be good. Mookie Betts has got to come up with something. He hasn't done anything yet. Xander Bogart's hitting really well at the moment. JD Martinez is doing really well. Obviously, the hero that is Brock Holt with his single 6 plate appearances has hit really well. Benintendi's driving in runs. The other hero, Steve Pearce, he's playing really well as well. So the lineup, I'm not too worried about. It's just what they can do against this Astros rotation, and then the bullpen that they're going to go into. They've got to try and get through that. But as George said, really, I think it's October. There's plenty of things that can be happen. There's plenty of balls that can be dropped. Some, you know, pass ball into the backstop or something, or a pitcher landing on the mound funny, and then they're out of the game, and that's it. Anything can happen. So you never know. I'm not expecting a sweep, clearly, either side. But I'm just hoping it's going to be close, whatever happens, to make it a bit more entertaining.
Yeah, definitely. I think as a neutral, we want to see that, especially after some fairly underwhelming divisional series. I mean, 3 of them looked like pretty easy wins. So hopefully we get a nice 6 or 7 game thriller here. So we've already kind of touched on the last question I wanted to ask. I think we'll go on that a bit more in depth. So basically I just wanted to both of you to highlight a player who you thought maybe could be an unlikely hero, either here or in the World Series if you get that far, a lesser known guy on the team who maybe casual fans don't know so much about, who you think might come up big. So George, you mentioned Josh James. Is that the guy you would pick? Do you want to tell people a bit more about him?
Yeah, Josh James, he's come up from the farm this season, and he's just looked fearless out there. I mean, he's still very, very raw. He hasn't had that many appearances, but what he's had to deal with so far, he's dealt with aplomb, and he's looked completely unfazed by it, which is great for you know, a young pitcher coming through, especially someone who is so raw and is pitching with such kind of heat. Is to be able to do it with the degree of control that he's done is very impressive. I think if he was put into, you know, a high leverage situation, I'd have faith in him being able to do a job. I mean, I don't expect him to be pitching for long periods if he does come in, but I could see him getting like a big couple of outs if he's in the middle of a jam. And I think obviously that's all you can ask for from your relievers really in October. You just want them to get through situations rather than looking at what we did last year, which was fairly bizarre in terms of having like a split performance where someone's pitching five innings and then Charlie Morton coming in for four innings, which it was kind of creative pitching changes. I we might see a bit of that. I sort of feel like we won't see so much of that. I think that was a bit more out of necessity last year, going on a bit of a tangent. But our bullpen is obviously far, far better this year than it was last season. So I think Josh James would be with the ball, with the bat. I could see Tyler White coming up with some big hits in this series. I think as a DH, I think he could well be the key in one of the games if it's tight. But that's just a gut feeling. I think that's the beauty of the postseason. You never really know how it's going to happen, how it's going to unfold. And I think especially when you get to the best of seven, that's a long series. You know, a lot of things can twist and turn over seven games. So I think. I obviously above all, I hope we win, but I think it's going to be pretty tight as well.
And Tom, I don't know if you just want to tell people about how great Brock Holt is, but I don't know if he qualifies as surprising. Now he's the owner of the only postseason cycle in Major League history. So do you have a different name for us, or are we just going to talk Brocktober?
I just want to start by saying, with a minimum of two innings pitched, the Astros bullpen have given away 9 runs to the Red Sox. Joe Kelly has given away 7 runs on his own to the Astros this season. So it's not looking good, let's be honest. So I'm not going to mention Brock Holt. I think everyone knows about Brock Holt. The most important thing about Brock Holt is his baseball career was nearly over last year after suffering with a vertigo and struggling to get back onto the field. He's actually come back and he's done so really well. So I think everyone's heard about the Brock Holt story. If you haven't, go and check it out. But I'm going to talk about Yankees killer Steve Pearce, who I'd actually never heard of before the Red Sox traded for him by offering up an old Clay Buchholz ball and a few hats to the Blue Jays. And they said yes. So if you've never heard of Steve Pearce, he's had 1 year where he's had 5.9 WAR, where that came from, I don't know, in Baltimore. The rest of his career has been a distinctly average player. He plays in the outfield. He also plays in the infield. But he's played first base for the Red Sox this year, and he's actually been quite good, especially during the postseason. He's been pretty good as well with his 14 plate appearances. He's actually produced some hits, especially in key moments as well. So I think you need to look out for Steve Pearce. In terms of pitching, there's nobody really that's that unknown. I suppose it's Ryan Brazier that people may not have heard of, but there's no one really who's going to stand out and shine. Maybe, let's have a look, maybe Nathan Eovaldi, who I'm not actually sure if he's pitched against the Astros, but he could be an interesting one. Somebody who really struggled against a lot of teams, but again, another Yankees killer. So you never know. Maybe Eovaldi could be the guy for Boston.
Yeah, Steve Pearce is a career-long lefty masher. So I don't even know if the Astros have a lot of lefties on the roster. I think Tony Sipp is the main name that comes to mind.
Perfect. Get him in there.
George, can you enlighten us? Are there any other big lefty names, or is it predominantly right-handed?
If you do look at the bullpen, yeah, it's you're looking at Sipp. I don't think I'm trying to forget. I think I've forgotten, but Sipp would be the only left-hander in there, other than Keuchel. So I don't think we'll be going with too many different lefty options.
Yeah, so well, I guess that qualifies as a pretty surprising pick then for Steve Pearce to get the big hits in this series.
You know me, always coming out with the wild hotcakes. Absolutely no evidence to back it up whatsoever. Just pick a name at random and hope for the best.
I asked for unlikely heroes, so you know this is.
This would be seriously unlikely, wouldn't it? Absolutely nobody. He only hits lefty pitching, and the Astros have no lefty pitchers. So, yeah, this could be good.
I'm really looking forward to when Steve Pearce hits the walk-off winner, because he gets left out there against Tony Sipp, who should have been pulled. But AJ Hinch just ran out of pitchers.
What can I do as a bet if Steve Pearce hits the walk-off run? to win the ALCS, what can I do? Let's not say get a tattoo or change your daughter's name. I don't think that's fair.
But anything below that,
Anything below that is open. And same rules apply as last time. I'm not allowed to lose my job or offend anyone.
So this is if Steve Pearce does do it, not if he doesn't.
Yeah, if he does do it. I think that's why it's got to be so unlikely. I've got to do something stupid.
Stupidly outlandish. I don't know. I mean, I feel like it should be Steve Pearce themed, but I don't know what's a good outlandish thing that's not making me have a tattoo of Steve Pearce.
I was going to say that, and I thought, if it happens, I'm screwed. I've never had a tattoo. I don't want a tattoo. And all of a sudden, my first tattoo is going to be Steve Pearce's face on my calf.
How about you just have to decorate your man cave with like a 6 foot high picture of Steve Pearce's face? How about that?
That's a good, his face, not even his body.
Yeah, just his face. Like those Mike Trout t-shirts that were terrifying because they were just his face.
I might have to get in touch with the Red Sox and see if they can provide this, because I don't think I'm going to be able to find it anywhere, or find anywhere that will print off a 6 foot picture of Steve Pearce's face.
I can guarantee the Red Sox social media team will be happy to support this endeavor.
They are dreadful. Have you seen some of their tweets? They are awful, especially when you compare them to like the Indians or the Rockies. They are bad.
You know, I bet the boys down at Cespedes Family Barbecue would support this.
That's a great show. I should ask them, actually, and see if they can make it happen. I'm sure they can.
Yeah. Okay, so there's your extremely unlikely prediction for the LCS. I guess that about wraps it up for today. So where can people find both of you? George, if people want to follow you tweeting about the Astros as they try and win the second World Series in a row for the first time since the, I guess it'll be the 2000 Yankees at this point.
Yeah, it would be indeed. At Astros Fans UK on Twitter, it's always the best place to get at me. More than happy to engage anyone who sends some messages on there. And just as a quick point, it's been great to see so many UK Astros fans sort of coming out the woodwork and following us on there, because a year and a half ago, I thought it was just me in England, and now genuinely, and now we're up to over 50. So it's fantastic, and I'm very, very thankful for everyone.
Yeah, it's great to see the community growing. We are still looking for a Reds fan, by the way. No Reds fans have tweeted us, so if you are a UK Reds fan, please do let us know. You will be the first. Tom, where can people find you on Twitter?
Yeah, you can find me at Pedroia's Face. I don't know what I'm tweeting about at the minute. I'm just mocking myself for mocking Justin Mason and saying that I was going to beat him in the Great Fantasy Baseball Invitational, which I didn't.
What was your final finishing position, Tom?
I think I was like, what was it out of? Was it 188? I think it was
195.
Like, I think I was 160th, 170th. What was yours, Darius?
I was 66th. I was disappointed not to finish 69th. But
I'm disappointed in you. But you were top of the UK leaderboard. That's the main thing. So, yeah, you can find me there just talking rubbish at the moment. There's not really a lot going on.
Yeah, I mean, you should really put some of the things you put in Slack on your Twitter account, I think, because I quite enjoyed watching you sort of suffer through the Red Sox postseason.
Okay, I'll start doing it then. Anything that I put in Slack, I'll start firing onto my account.
Yeah, just the ups and downs of Tom Pringle as the Red Sox, yeah.
Anytime Kimbrel pitches from now on.
Excellent. And you can find me on Twitter at DariusA64. I'm a Giants fan, so I'm probably just hoping for the Brewers to beat the Dodgers at this point and go on and win it all. That's probably not going to happen, sadly. You can find the podcast at Batflips_Nerds, on Facebook at facebook.com/Batflips2Nerds, and the website is, of course, batflips2nerds.com. Lots of good content going up there. We have many new articles. There was a great postseason kind of primer from Adam Perry, a bit of a survival kit. So if you're a UK fan kind of dealing with your first postseason, then that was a great read. I really recommend that. And there's more content coming out. We always get a few articles up pretty much every week, so it's definitely worth checking that out. I hope everybody enjoys the playoff series. Good luck to both of you.
Thank you very much.
We're looking forward to this.
as much as I can do, yeah.
Yeah. And we will talk to you all next time. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.